Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can all go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, when the store is quiet, I get to watch movies and series and talk about them with my friends that work here. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop. Did you see that thing yesterday on the TV? Good morning, guys.
Yo.
What's happening?
Yeah, good, man.
We got Perrin today.
Hello.
And we got Gaddy.
I'm mostly here.
Mostly. You're doing very well for early mornings.
Yeah, I was up at like 6:15 this morning.
For a guy that didn't do mornings.
Yeah, I've totally changed my life now.
I want to get into it because there's been some exciting news. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the video store. Thank you for wandering into our video store. It is lovely to have you. Today is a Clerks chat, so that's just us talking about what we're watching on streaming platforms and out in cinemas. Myself and Gad went to a premiere or like a special advanced screening last week, so I want to talk about that. There's some TV shows. I'm sure you guys have got lots to talk about. And then later this week is going to be our guest chat. So on Thursday, the episode will come out with our guest chat, and this week it's going to be comedian and actor Glenn Biederman Pam. Yeah, you know him, Gad.
Yeah, he was in our music video.
He was in our music video. He was in the Say Anything music video, which was a very cinematic narrative music video that he did a great job, like a great job in.
He used to work with Brian and Asher before even then. He was just like shadowing them with Team Best.
Yeah, because he's got his own production company as well.
Panther Punch, or what is it
Panther
called?
Punch, yeah. So you know him too.
Yeah, I've never met him, but I've known him in passing.
Yeah, he's a lovely dude. So that'll be on Thursday, so look out for that one. Before we get going, I just want to make a quick announcement for all those browsing. All those in the aisles of our video store. Just a quick little one. I'm going to press this button.
Attention all customers. This is just to let you know that we are running a special promotion with our friends at Duis Wine. So if you hop on over to duis.wine, you can get 15% off your order if you use the promo code VideoStoreDuis. But the big thing is you've got to choose the pickup at the Bioscope. So here at the Bioscope Cinema, we allow you to pick up your Duis wine for free to save on shipping if you live in Joburg. So you've got to choose that. But if you use Video Store Duis, you can get 15% off that order. Okay, magic.
What have we been enjoying? Gaddy, should we talk about quickly about...
Imaginary Friends.
I want to talk about Imaginary Friends, but let's talk about the fact that you got married.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that happened too.
Yeah, just casual. Both myself and Gad were the sort of engaged bros at the start of this year when it comes to the guys in the band. And you were thinking of later in the year?
Yeah, we were toying with so many dates and nothing worked for my mother, so we were like, let's just do it now.
Nothing worked for Sandra.
Yeah, it was like my mom and then my brother couldn't make any dates and we were just fed up with trying to please everyone. So we were like, we're doing this for us.
Because, in and around the Easter weekend, it was like around the 27th of April. On the public holiday. Gad phoned me a little while before and was like, what are you doing on Saturday? I'm like, I'm going to be in Cape Town.
Yeah, we organized the whole thing in like 10 days.
But congratulations, man. Here you are. I could see your wedding ring.
Yeah.
Looking good on you.
Thanks, man.
And was it everything that you needed it to be?
Yeah, it was super simple. We had like 30 people. I made the wedding cake.
Oh.
And it was just in the garden.
Yeah.
It was lovely. It was
Shaniqua
small.
Was the maid of honor.
Of course.
Do you know who Shaniqua is?
No.
Good. Shaniqua is Gad's fat pug.
Oh, sick.
Sorry to add the adjective, but
no,
it's quite important.
We can't skirt around the fact that she is large.
She is large and in charge.
Yeah.
We were traveling once as a band, and Gad was talking about the fact that he wants to get a pug. Did you get her from Pug Rescue?
No, I didn't know about them yet.
Okay, then Gad came to realize
the
industry of pugs thereafter and has done a lot of work to support Pug Rescue? Because a lot of people like Gad want to get pugs and then realize they don't want them.
They're a lot of work. They're noisy and they smell funny.
Yeah. They kind of shouldn't exist as a species. Don't ever Google a pug skull.
Oh, God.
No, you should Google
it.
It's
wild to me that... Okay, I'm Googling it right now. But, like, it's wild to me that they once were wolves. Thousands of years ago.
And Gad said he wanted to get a pug. And then I think I was driving. We were on a tour somewhere. And I was like, Gad, you should give her a strong African-American woman's name. And he's like, what did you have in mind? I was like, Shaniqua.
I thought she was going to be a black pug because her father was a black one and her mother was fawned. So we're like, no, she needs a strong...
No, but old Shaniqua's come everywhere. She's had songs written about her. Really, go Adventure Man, Sorry Shaniqua. It's actually one of Gad's better ones.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's... But there's like an X-ray version of it.
Yeah, that's haunting. There's a side view as well.
Yeah, I've seen it. Like, sorry, we're looking at the skulls right now, and they look alien.
They shouldn't exist.
And I've discovered now, since I'm married, I'm enjoying foods that I never thought I would. Like I bought a...
That's interesting.
I bought a sandwich. It was like a salami sandwich. And I opened it up. I'm like, oh, there's tomato and pickles in. And like, I was about to take them out, and I realized I've got nowhere to put them. And I'm like... Okay, I'm just going to eat this. I'm just going to eat it.
No, the important thing here, okay, parent, for you to understand, is that not only is Gad married, but he's like becoming more of a dad because woman he's married has a kid. Yeah. He's a lovely dude, and he actually comes to a lot of our kid previews because if a little kid loves it, then you know it's going to be a good kids movie.
Yeah, for sure.
So good old Corbin, and I think Gad has grown up so much in the last. Yeah, and I think this. I think the marriage has just like sped up that process.
Yeah,
it's been exciting to see you like grow up. Because he was always like the youngest in sort of spirit. But speaking of weird aliens, when we were looking at that pug skull, have you guys seen Strange Planet?
No,
it's like that guy who makes that cartoon show.
Yeah, so it was originally a cartoon, like a strip cartoon, right? Very much for the internet, great meme-y kind of content. And now it's the TV show, which is on Apple TV Plus.
It's very cool. I've seen a couple of episodes.
It's very cool. Have you heard of it, Perrin?
No, I'm looking at it right now.
So let me, and you don't know about Strange Planet?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so let me sell it to you.
Yes, I recognize that strip. Yeah, you recognize the blue strip. Aliens. Yeah, for sure.
The whole point is like, imagine everything that we do as humans being done on a completely different planet by aliens.
Yeah.
Where the aliens have given like the literal definition and the literal meaning to everything that we do as humans. Mm-hmm. So they're almost speaking, it's so straight. You almost got to translate almost everything that they say. But the whole point of the show is to point out how silly our human society is.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they refer to pillows as, like, comfort squares. And they don't say, thank you. They go, gratitude. And so they are... And the first episode is all about, like, air travel. And the way they speak literally to each other points out how stupid and silly human society is. It's really smart. It's I don't know how much you can watch in one go because you have to constantly be translating it in your head.
Yeah, like a couple of episodes at a time max.
Yeah, it's like a little thing to kind of go to every now and again.
How long are the episodes?
Like 20 minutes.
Like a sort of full TV showy thing, 20, 30. But yeah, it's on Apple TV Plus and it's really cool.
That.
Yeah, have you seen any of it?
Just the first couple.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so you've seen some of it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about imaginary friends. Do you know about it? Did you end up going to
watch
it? I
literally watched it last night.
Yeah. Okay. What did you think?
It was
a little disappointing.
Yeah, it was a little disappointing, but I felt it stuck the landing, like emotionally, at least for me.
It got pretty close. Yeah.
I think once they started connecting everything, because everything was very much up in the air.
That's what I thought. Like, there was a moment where I was like, what is the point of all this? You know what I mean? Like...
Let's just give a little back of the box. So imaginary friends in the rest of the world, or at least America, is being called IF.
Yeah.
So South Africa and perhaps other territories are calling it imaginary friends, but this is the brainchild of John Krasinski, who we know most famously from The Office.
And then The Quiet Place.
And then he started making his own movies, because he directed Quiet Place. Eh?
Yeah, both of the first two.
Yeah, so he's become a director, and of course he's acted in a whole bunch of stuff. And then this has been quite a long-awaited, quite anticipated film, because I think he's always had a good sense of warmth and happiness and good. Like, did you remember watching the things that he did in COVID? He had that like fake news network.
Yes,
not the real news.
Good news network. And so he's always been like the nice guy. He's always been like the wholesome dude. So this is now his big children's movie, which is what you get the sense of from the trailer, and what the story is about imaginary friends. And if imaginary friends were real, and all of a sudden one can now see, and this main character can see imaginary friends throughout the course of the movie. There's a little bit more to it, but it's all about your childhood, your loss of childhood, what those childhood imaginary friends meant to you. It's a little bit convoluted. And I think it lacked a little bit of secret sauce. It lacked some big heart.
Yeah. So for me, I was very much up in the air until a certain point when I didn't understand what a character was. And then when that kind of turned around, I'm like, oh, retroactively, a lot of stuff makes sense.
I don't think you're giving it away, but you're talking about Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's one of the main characters. So it's a little girl whose mom has died. You get the sense. Now she's with her dad, who's played by John Krasinski.
He's in the same hospital as the mother when she
died. Yeah, he's now, and pretty much the whole movie takes place over like a few days when the dad is getting a surgery.
Yeah.
And while she's staying in New York to get the surgery with her dad, she's staying in her grandmother's apartment, which she must have spent a bit of time in growing up. And then she discovers that upstairs is this guy who has all these imaginary friends around him. Yeah. And she gets to know them, and she helps these imaginary friends be connected to their people, their humans.
Well, I think she's trying to rehome them, to find new humans, young kids for
them. But so all of them are wildly different. They're like big hairy monsters or little banana people. And I must say, the film itself is beautiful looking.
Yeah.
And I also know from film school that that's one of the worst things you can say about a movie, to only say, like, it looks great.
It just wasn't as quirky as it should have been.
And because it was so beautiful looking, so, like, the way, you know, compare a film like this to Who Framed Roger Rabbit, where you got animation and live action interacting.
Mm.
It's amazing to show how far we've gotten, where these furry things, and, of course, all of them have got quite different textures. They looked so good amongst the real characters, the real humans. But for me, it made me feel like too aware of its production, too aware of its costume. It all looked so beautiful that I was aware of how everything was a bit too stylized, a bit too planned.
Mm.
And so it lost a little authenticity to me. It all felt a bit too perfect.
Mm.
And in that, I lost the heart.
I mean, I was still weeping by the end.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, listen, I think that's the thing, is that if you did feel something, and I think I got a little something near the end, and there's some nice little twists and turns, which I think make the movie, will give it some substance. But that's nice. You guys loved it, eh?
Look, I mean, it was a lot like Inside Out, and I've been hearing a lot of
Foster's Home.
I never watched that.
It's like basically the same thing.
What's that movie?
So Foster's Home for TV Imaginary series. Friends. Yeah, it was an animated TV shows. I think Jindy Tarkovsky did it. He did Dexter, Samurai Jack, Primal.
Okay.
And the whole premise of the show was there was like an orphanage for imaginary friends. And the whole premise was them trying to find these imaginary friends, new kids for them to adopt. You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah, I know that's basically a similar premise.
That's basically it, right? So, like, with the movie, I mean, like Gad said, like, by the end of it, he was crying. Like, and that's where I felt as well. Most of the movie, I was like, okay, there's not really a plot to this movie. Things are just happening, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she's just bouncing from one scenario to another, trying to help and, like, a friend find someone or reconnect with their their childhood friend, you know what I mean? But like, yeah, most of the time I also felt like a disconnect. I was just like, I don't understand where this is going. I don't understand what they're trying to do. It felt too much that John Krasinski was like too influenced by other things that he saw, you know what I mean? So it felt like it was missing some sort of heart, like Foster's Home. I mean, the first 5 minutes was essentially Up.
Yeah, yeah, and I thought that was very interesting. But
I think they were just so like proud of this twist that they had, that they hinged the whole movie about putting the twist towards the end, and it held things back.
There were all these famous folk that were the voices of all these imaginary characters.
Like, Jesus.
But they didn't do anything with them.
Yeah.
You know, they were like these quick little vignettes that were kind of superfluous.
Mm.
But anyways, it was cool. But I'm glad we saw it, and it's in cinemas now.
Yeah. I would watch it with Corbin.
There we go. Here's the key thing. It's like, it's maybe not for us.
Yeah.
You know, something we got to remember.
But that's the thing, though. I think it's a tricky thing to do as well, because he's made this children's movie, but I don't see it as a children's movie. I see it as a family movie.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's very hard to make a family movie that doesn't cater to just children. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it has that. I think it has... It does play on like the nostalgia of, you know, having like an overexcited imagination when you're a child and stuff like that. But like you said, I feel like it's too
neat,
like constructed. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, because like you said, it's a pretty looking movie. I mean, when we were reading the credits, freaking Janusz Kaminski did the cinematography for that.
You Spielberg's. Know that
Spielberg's guy. He did Saving Private Ryan, Schindler's List.
Okay, the guy who was Schindler's the cameraman, the DOP.
Yeah.
So the person who was behind the camera, leading the shots, was one of the
multiple
best.
Oscar winner.
Yeah. Okay. He didn't do Schindler's, but he did Saving Private Ryan. But like, he's a fucking phenomenal cinematographer.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But yeah, I just wanted it to be weirder.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think
just
they went
safe. It was maybe very safe.
Yeah. But which makes sense.
All right.
What's nice about the mornings is that we get all the customers who have rented from our beautiful video store, and they come and they bring back stuff. I see a customer coming right now.
How's it? I'm Grant from England, and I'm returning Clarkson's Farm Season 3 to the video store. What a show, honestly. It's following the same pattern as Season 1 and 2, and honestly it's just a winning formula. There's heartbreak, there's tons of laughs. Even if you're not a big fan of Jeremy Clarkson, or you are, it's just a brilliant show and really highlights how tough, how difficult farming can be, from the heartache of losing animals, or money, or when it rains, when it shouldn't. It just throws it all into perspective, and Clarkson does a brilliant job of guiding us through the journey of his year. Really, really enjoyed it. Thanks, guys, for the recommendation.
All right. Thank you for that. There is instructions on how you can send us one of those in the links below, the description of this episode. But very short, you can record a voice note and you can email it to us, videostorepod@gmail.com. And so it'd be nice to hear from you. So just know that you can always send us that. Have you guys watched Clarkson's Farm? Do you know about it?
No.
So this is Jeremy Clarkson, who was famous for being on Top Gear, which I think was great because it changed the way people perceived cars and car shows. They made it so fun. He then had a sort of fall from grace where I think some...
You can say that again.
Yeah, some arrogance and things came out, and he eventually lost his job at Top Gear. Then they did a grand tour, which was like
on
a...
Prime.
Which, you know, other places commissioned what was effectively the magic of Top Gear, which was these three people in particular, you know, doing car-related stuff. And now there's a show on Amazon Prime called Clarkson's Farm, which is Jeremy Clarkson sort of making his farm work in the countryside in England.
Yeah.
And apparently it's amazing. I haven't seen it.
Now that you mention Clarkson, like actual Jeremy Clarkson, I didn't put the two together.
Yeah.
Like I remember seeing reviews just while doom scrolling, like from like publications, and they were all like praising it.
So. It's. I think it's a little bit like what driving and love of cars got from Top Gear, which was like this exciting reinvention. This is that for farming. And I know you'd think that that sounds strange, but I think the UK especially needed an invigoration in farming because, you know, over the years, so much has been outsourced to Europe. And, you know, with Brexit, a lot of those imports and those ties have made things difficult. So kind of having the British people return back to farming and finding an appreciation, I think, is actually doing something. And people are saying that it's changing the economy a bit of the UK when it comes to farming because this show has been so successful. Yeah, and it's just getting people excited about, like, fresh produce again.
That's cool.
You know, here he is, like, making stuff. And another thing that I got from a friend is they said he dumbs himself down a bit in Top Gear and sort of acts a fool a bit. But you know he's a smart dude. And apparently in Clarkson's Farm, he is at least revealing himself to be smarter.
Okay.
Which I think is interesting how people can build characters. It's like we're looking back on Paris Hilton so differently
now. I know, geez. Like, have you heard her speak?
Have you seen some of this?
Yeah, she's insane.
I think she's got another book out or another whatever out.
She's quite
and
smart,
she's doing more PR and she's basically revealing. I mean, she's done this many, many times and the signs were always there, but she's drumming home the idea that the Paris Hilton we knew from Simple Life and all those kinds of MTV shows was a character that she put on.
Yeah.
There were certain things I'll never forget at the time, getting a sense that she was smarter.
Yeah, 100%. I totally
agree. And she was the big bimbo that everybody sort of loved to make fun of.
Yeah.
And I remember once having a good conversation with someone about it, and I said, no, I've read this GQ article, and in the article they revealed this, you know, a decade ago. They said, no, we hung out with her for the day. Don't be deceived.
Yeah.
And now, years later, like when she gives these interviews, she speaks differently and she says, lot of the time.
It's like jarring almost because
she's got a deeper
voice.
She speaks more quickly and eloquently. And the person interviewing says, but you sound different. She's like, yeah, I put on a character. Because the character sold, right? The stupid bimbo, like awesome.
Yeah, that's
like,
that's hard.
That's hard. Like, she put all of that on.
Yeah,
she was amazing. Fucking smart.
Yeah, no.
And I love that. I just love how, like, intellect came out.
Yeah, like, that's...
came out on top.
It's a crazy thing, though. Like, it's... I mean, I remember when I also... I can't remember. I think my girlfriend was like, have you heard what Paris Hilton sounds like now? And I was like, no. And, like, they did a comparison of her on The Simple Life with Nicole Richie. And they're like, you know, that's hard. And like speaking the very Valley girl accent and all that stuff. And then like in her new interview, she's like, sounds like a normal person.
Yeah. No, and she is smart.
Yeah. And she's like, and you can see she's kind of fed up with the shit. I think there's a clip bouncing around as well where like it's literally a real life clip of like someone filming when she was in her Paris Hilton persona.
Yeah.
And then, like, when the camera stopped rolling, like, she turned it off immediately.
Yeah.
And, like, you just see her, like hanging around.
Slump down and speak normally.
Yeah, so nuts, man.
So, talking of different character perceptions.
Yes.
I just finished Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, see.
So, I've been a Seinfeld fan. I recently just finished the entire series. Like, that took me, like, a month. And going into this last season of Curb... perfection.
I've never jumped on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, I haven't as well. My mates love Curb, and they're always like, you've
everyone
got to
I
start.
Know loves
and I'm
it.
Like, fuck, like,
where is
it's
Curb?
On Showmax.
It's on Showmax.
Yeah.
Because I dabbled in Seinfeld later. Like, I never watched Seinfeld at the time. I think I was too young when it was in its prime. And I watched a bit of it. I was like, no, I get it. Yeah. It's solid. It's this very reason why Jerry Seinfeld, you know, is the famous, wealthy, successful comic, because it's kind of, it works for everyone. It's all very universal.
Show about nothing.
It's a show about nothing.
Yeah.
What was interesting is that, so Larry David was a part of Seinfeld. he was the producer, right?
So he was the creator and the showrunner and the main script writer.
And now Curb Your Enthusiasm is his show. It's him being him.
Yeah, it's very meta.
Yeah. Yeah, so he left for the last two seasons. He came back for the finale, which everyone hated.
In Seinfeld. Yeah.
Which they perfectly reference in the finale of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Like, I don't want to spoil it, but it's just like...
Okay, so is Curb Your Enthusiasm finished? Has it long since been finished?
No.
Or is it only finishing now?
So this is the 12th and final season. It finished like a few weeks ago.
Okay, that's interesting. So this is a moment. It's a moment in TV history where now Curb Your Enthusiasm has finished.
And Larry was saying he's so happy it's finished because he can just... He doesn't have to do that character anymore.
That's interesting. Like, so the character... So he obviously has to... But he is himself in the show, hey? Is he Larry David?
He's an insanely accentuated version of himself.
Yeah. But does he call himself Larry David?
Yeah. So he's Larry, and then all the other characters kind of play themselves, but they're not really involved with the real Larry in the way that they are in the show.
But is he Larry David who created Seinfeld? Yeah. He is himself.
Yeah.
And what is Curb Your Enthusiasm about?
It's a show about nothing.
Yeah, well, this is what's interesting. So apparently, and just fact check me on but apparently, you know, Seinfeld was this funny stand-up comedian, and then it was proposed that there should be a sitcom, and they were apparently debating what it could be about, and they weren't getting anywhere, and then apparently they were just... Seinfeld and Larry David were just shooting the shit in a coffee shop.
Yeah. They're like, this is what the show should be about.
And then one of them said that. I think maybe it was Seinfeld.
Kind of
one of them said...
They reference it in Seinfeld. They make a show. They get the NBC kind of get them to write a show. So you see George and Jerry like struggling to come up with this idea. Apparently in real life, it was seamless. Like Larry's super professional, not like George. So Seinfeld would rely on him for the structure and all of that.
Oh, so George in Seinfeld is meant to be Larry David.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize that.
So whenever George would say, there's no way anyone would say that, Larry's like, it happened to me. I did it. I said it.
Okay. All right. So it's delivered for you.
Yeah. No, okay. it was incredible. And like what Seinfeld was great at doing the show was the callbacks.
Yeah.
So over the course of episodes and sometimes even seasons, but Kirby takes it to the next level. It's like the references and...
I love a good callback in the sitcom.
Like, very British thing.
Yeah.
But it's also, callbacks are a big part of a stand-up comedy show.
Yeah.
So basically what that is, for those who don't know, is you sort of set up something, you make a reference, later on you come back to it, you reference it, and it's a delight for the audience because you go back to the old joke or
it's like an extended punchline almost.
Yeah, and you feel a part of the joke because you shared it before. And so especially with the TV show that's trying to make itself lovable, callbacks are smart because you feel like you're in on a joke.
And almost every Curb episode like ends on a callback and a character going, "Oh." It's amazing.
I want to talk about something. Just you referencing something that's kind of like, you know, it's a TV show giving you something that you love and enjoy. I have been watching Bridgerton over the shoulder of Leslie,
my
fiance, and
shoulder.
Yeah, well, it's not. It's not me going, hey, you know, like, let's carry on. Yeah. Let's carry on together. And when I come and join on the couch, it's always been like, we can watch something else. I'm like, oh, it's fine.
That's always the conversation. Yeah,
it's always the dude's response. No, I got some work to do, so I'm going to tinker on my laptop while we... And then before you know it, you're like, Lady Featherington! but it's such a great show. And I want to just talk about why I think it's so good.
Okay.
Not that I think it's so good, why I think it's so successful.
Yeah.
Do you know much about Bridgerton, Gad?
It's period.
Yeah,
it's another
first season was
It's based
like
on
super
a
raunchy.
Bunch of books.
Yeah.
There's a fat dollop of raunch where all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is ETV at midnight to
really?
Some large Jesus. Degree. No, there's a point where you're like, oh my God, this is just a montage of sex scenes.
Just hot people.
But it's, it's in a old English... Pride and Prejudice-y kind of Jane Austen era England. But what makes it delightful is they've reimagined history where, which I think is great, that there's loads of black people.
Yeah.
Which is a very simple, but
like
very, very effective retelling of history.
I'm not watching it.
Which is lovely, because if someone wanted to do, if someone wanted to do this and play in that kind of sandbox, immediately, like, there's no room for diversity, because 300 or 400 years ago, whenever it was, it was just white people that were noble. So it's just great that, and they don't obviously need to address it. It just is what it is, right? The queen is a black lady. Cool. And it doesn't matter. Thereafter, it's got nothing to do with the show. So immediately you've got more audience, right?
Yeah.
Cause everyone can see themselves and everyone can enjoy this show.
Yeah.
But it's painfully fucking simple. Each season really seems to be a season in society where you have to find a husband. And so it's all about the viscounts and the dukes and the whatever's calling on ladies, you know, to sort of be a match. And they from what I can tell over the shoulder of Leslie for the last two seasons, is it's basically been the same story, which is like someone is destined to marry someone else because for society that would be great. But secretly they love each other.
It's basically the Christmas movie of period dramas from what I'm hearing.
But it is so painfully simple.
Yeah.
And it's just about like, but I love her and we should be together, but I'm matched to someone else. And it's like there's points and at the end of this, they're quite smart. They've taken this last season and broken it up into two parts. And so now everyone has to wait until June for part two.
I hate when they do
but
that.
But it makes sense. Otherwise you binge it in a whole weekend there's just there's no like deepened root attachment to it.
Yeah,
right?
You don't wait a week every week. Yeah.
It's like a McDonald's burger. You just eat it and then 10 minutes later you feel awful.
Yeah.
But there's points where I was watching this and I was laughing because I was like, this is so silly. Like, stop the carriage and the door swings open. But I've always loved you. Actors must like actually stop themselves from laughing.
Yeah, because it's so ridiculous.
Because it is so ridiculous. But we need it. We fucking need it in society because we have such complicated, nuanced lives now that are so deeply layered with, you know, so many problems that to just have a simple season where the hardest fucking thing in these people's lives is like maintaining their sense of place in society and finding a man. It's
of
like
course.
It does not advance feminism in any way, but it is just a delightful, like, super simple show with a little, as I said, dollop of raunch where you know, like, he's going at it in this carriage
going at it so like
it's so bad, but it's you know what, I dig it. And I, speaking of pets with great names, call back. We are talking about myself and Leslie, my fiance, we're talking about a future house that we plan to move to soon. Currently, we're in an apartment, so we can get dogs. And the dogs we would like to get, we have decided the cutest and the best would be corgis.
Okay.
I haven't even looked
corgis
into
are cute.
How one even gets a corgi in South Africa. I doubt there's a corgi rescue.
Yeah.
We'll cross that bridge when we get there. But it would be delightful to have corgis.
Mm.
And last night I named one. I was like,
after a Bridgerton.
Yeah. I said one of them should be called Lady Featherington.
Of course.
And you could just call her Lady for short.
Yeah. Or Feather or Feathy.
Yeah. But I came up with the boy's name. And I think you guys would appreciate this. It's got nothing to do with Bridgerton. But it's got to be a British thing. Because, you know, they're British dogs linked to the Queen. I want to call him Basil.
That's a good name.
His full name is Basil Exposition. And he works in British intelligence.
Exposition. Basil Exposition's a great rapper name as well.
But you remember Basil Exposition from Austin Powers?
Yes. Of course.
This is Basil Exposition with British intelligence.
My friend's got a sausage dog whose name is Princess Gwen Stefani.
Princess Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
You've had sausage dogs. Paris was
the one. Oh, my mom. Yeah. Paris is, and then the new one's Jaggy.
Jaggy, like Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger,
yeah.
Yeah, but Paris. Shout out to, callback to Paris Hilton.
You should name your corgi Ayn as well. Did you ever watch Cowboy Bebop?
No.
Fucking great anime. It's my favorite anime series. So, like, okay. I'm not really into anime. I'll straight up admit it. Like, I love the Ghibli films. I love the classics. Akira, Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah,
I know those are basic bitch answers, but, like...
No.
Cowboy Bebop is so fucking cool. It's about bounty hunters on Mars, and it kicks so much ass. The Netflix...
Adaptation
wasn't good. The animated series is so good, and they've got a little corgi named Ayn.
Ayn.
Because it's a really smart dog, so it's like short for Einstein, and it's fucking awesome.
Is there a digestible amount of episodes in the anime?
It's like 26 episodes, whole series.
Okay.
And it killer soundtrack. It's like very jazzy.
It was first a TV show.
Yeah, animated TV series.
Was it a comic, physical comic?
No, first? It was, I think, as far as I know, it was originally an anime. It's okay. Not a manga. I know someone's going to fact check us in the comments.
Because that's normally why I'm hesitant to start, like, One Piece is like 1,000 episodes.
It's stupid.
Or something.
It's stupid. Like, okay. And they still have, like apparently, like 10 more years to go. It's fucking mental.
What? One Piece.
Yeah.
Just because there's so much story that's written.
But that's fucking insane. That's like actually ridiculous. And I know, come at me in the comments, bro, but like,
yeah.
That's like, for me, like a good show, I don't like it, but I love it when a show is like 3-4 seasons and it's done. You know what I mean?
Well, they have to have an end because,
because
when a show doesn't, then that means
drags.
That
Walking Dead. Oh my god!
It means that they've gotten renewed and gone, shit. Well, what are we going to do this season? Maybe this guy falls in love with this one. I don't know.
Grey's
maybe
Anatomy.
This,
what are they?
They're like season 15 or some crazy shit.
I mean, even House went on too long.
Yeah.
But I think the smart way to do it is Doctor Who, which is like it just gets a reinvention. There's a new Doctor.
Yeah, I mean they're doing a lot with like anthology series.
Has anyone
like
watched
Fargo
the new
stuff? Like, no,
I've never seen a single Doctor.
I've never seen a single one, but I know that the new Doctor is the dude Eric from Sex Education.
Yeah, he's in
the sort of queer friend.
Yeah, he's one of the Kens as well in Barbie.
He's one of the Kens, and so this is the first. I think it's the first. Doctor of Colour.
Yeah, he's the first like black Doctor Who.
Wasn't the previous Doctor a woman?
They have done women's in the past.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just shows. We're getting somewhere.
Like to try. Yeah. I don't know.
Progress.
Progress.
Going on like good series that end. So like I haven't watched Curb, but like as far as I understand the 12 seasons, it's like every season was fucking amazing. Like it never dipped really.
I've got favorite seasons.
Of course, everyone does.
Seasons,
yeah,
but
if you've got the good formula, then it can be replicated because then it's a day in the life. And so, if your life is interesting, then every day can be exciting.
And that show is totally improvised.
There's been like a couple
of episodes at the first episode of the new season because Jess was watching with me, and it's just like it didn't work. And it wasn't funny. She's like, no, I'm not watching any more Curbs. I had to watch the rest of the season.
And you were worried.
I was worried, but like straight away it was great again.
Yeah.
But it's just like sometimes the improv just...
What did she not like?
That it just wasn't funny.
Yeah, the jokes weren't landing, eh?
Yeah, if it's not your radio station, then...
But she liked the previous season. She watched that with me. It's just this one particular episode I also felt didn't resonate as well as others.
Mm.
But she was just like, okay, no, I'm done with Curbs.
Interesting. It's when Love is Blind comes on as well. It's like I can't watch this.
Yeah, I can feel
my brain rot.
So I mean, when you say trash,
but something like Bridgerton is trash to me.
Yeah,
but it's delightful.
It's trashy.
Trash. It's a super sweet little macaron cupcake. I'm happy to eat. It's not good for me.
Yeah,
but it tastes delicious, and I should maybe not have too many.
One thing that I do that I should stop doing, but like, so me and my girlfriend love Below Deck. Oh my fucking god.
Below Deck.
Yeah, it's
kind of sounded like you said me and my girlfriend love to blow dick.
Dick's a great guy.
No, below deck. Yeah, he loves it. Below deck is about...
It'd be so great if you just carried on talking and then you just started talking about dick.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my God, he actually was talking about blowing dick.
I've never heard of the show, but I want to assume that it's a reality TV show set on a boat.
Yes.
Yachting. Okay. It's like the yachting industry, right?
Yeah, it's about the staff.
Not cruise ships.
No, it's more like private yachts.
More like Triangle of Sadness. Kind of,
if watching Below Deck and watching Triangle Sadness, you're like, it's fucking amazing. Like, yeah. But anyways, Below Deck, like reality show about yacht crews. So So it's the deckhands, the guys who like work outside and stuff, like with the boat and stuff, and the cabin crew, which are like, you know, they clean up and serve the guests and stuff.
But they're usually like young, pretty people.
They're all young, white, and hot. There's a few, there's a big problem with diversity in the industry. It's just young, white, hot people.
Yeah.
So there's a few episodes. There's a lot of South Africans, a lot of Aussies, a lot of Americans, obviously. But there's a number of seasons where there are some black deckhands or cabin crew. And they're mostly South African, and they talk about that being an issue in the industry. And it's a really trashy, great show. It's fucking awesome. I love Blood.
Okay. Lovely.
Netflix.
Yeah. There's a few seasons on Netflix, not all of them. If you have DSTV, there's like three franchises. There's Mediterranean, there's like four or five. There's Down Under.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's it's the MCU of Below Deck. It's the multiverse. Yeah, there's the Scandinavian one, Australian one. There is the regular one where they go to like wherever, Thailand, whatever. There's Sailing Yacht, where it's not a motor, it's a motorized yacht, like with the
actual sail. Okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite one. And then this is the Mediterranean one. Yeah.
Lovely. It's been a lovely day.
Yeah.
I think we should call it there. I think we should pack up and go home.
Okay.
I think we had ourselves a lovely day, and I appreciate you guys.
Mm.
Our home base is the video store.co.za. And as I said, in the description of this episode down below, are instructions on how you can return something that you're watching.
Mm.
This is a new thing we want to grow. So you record a voice note quite simply on your phone, record it in your voice recorder app, and you email it to us, videostorepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear what you are enjoying and also what you think of some of the stuff we've spoken about. Mm. Links to previous episodes and previous guests are also there, and chime in on social media. Let us know. And as we said, this Thursday is Glenn Biederman Pam, the actor and comedian and content maker. So that's going to be a good chat. All right. Thank you, guys.
Cool. Thank you.
Thanks for today. We'll see you soon.
Yes, guys.
Cheers.